on my fridge every week, there's a meal plan and there's a schedule of time. And in that schedule of time, whilst many people talk about having their date nights, we also have our own nights. So last night, actually, Kevin went to the cinema, got some food, and had some downtime. It's my turn soon, I'll go and do that because we both are aware that we need that independent time to just download,
Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it. Welcome back to Imperfect Momming, and we have a very special guest today, Nikki Steele. Welcome to Imperfect Momming.
Hi, thanks for having me.
When I read your last name just now, I was like, oh, I knew somebody with that last name. I haven't
Nikki,
thought about
it's
her in a while.
actually Nikki Steele Osborne. It's actually a double barrel. And it's really interesting that you just did Nikki Steele because whenever I'm doing any marketing materials, they always give me either Nikki Steele or Nikki Osborne. So I spend my life going, it's Nikki Steele Osborne. It's a doubler. It's a mouthful.
I can understand that for sure. Yeah. So tell us a little bit of, what's that?
I've been called worse.
There you go. So tell us who you are and what you do.
All right, so I am very obviously Scottish. I've been overseas for 17 years now. I left Scotland to go to New Zealand for 6 months, which turned into 7 years in Indonesia, a business. I had a salon, a husband, then a shift to Montenegro, where we then picked up a dog and had a son. And some postpartum depression. And then we relocated to where we are right now, which is Dubai. But we're getting ready to move again in the summer to Belgium. Mm. So my 6 months of being windswept and interesting is still going on all these years later. And I put down my hairdressing scissors after the postpartum depression and studied to become a coach and a support for maternal mental health. So that's what I'm doing now. And I use my tagline, simple, sustainable self-care. The wellness industry has grown exponentially, but some of it can be so overwhelming. And so I like to bring it back to basics and just be that safe space, as you are, to give people somewhere that they can give oxygen to the challenges they face, but without scaremongering and without sugarcoating. I saw actually on social media earlier, someone said something brilliantly about, that we're opening up these difficult conversations surrounding parenthood, but we're starting to forget to include the joy of being a parent. And it really hit home for me because I feel like whenever I talk about maternal mental health, people automatically go into this dark space and think that I'm going to join them in this dark space. Mm. And I'm like, no, I'm here to get you out of that dark space as best I can so that we can enjoy being parents. It's about enjoying it and navigating the bits that are challenging, but without immersing completely in the darkness. So that's how I feel about it. I feel like I'm trying to be a light for people.
I really love that. And I was talking with someone this morning about, kind of like what I do. And, it kind of ties in neatly with what you said, where it's like raising children just by itself has its challenges. Like there, it absolutely has its rewards for sure, and it has its challenges. And while we're focused on our children's needs and raising them into happy, healthy, well-adjusted adults, we hope, right? Who's taking care of us? Who's like, we're not focused on us so much of the time. And we're also told by society and sometimes by people who live in our house, that self-care is selfish.
Yeah, kick them out. Don't let
Right.
them live in your house if you see that.
And honestly, I actually the other I posted one time, self-care is selfish. What's wrong with being selfish?
Well, you don't run a car without petrol. If you run out of fuel in your car, you're not going anywhere. So it's the same. We've got to top up our petrol and our fuel if we want to show up as the people we want to be, the parents, the wives, the sisters, the friends, And yeah, it's not selfish, it's necessary, and it does play such a massive impact. And that's everything I do is like, how can we And you don't see it when you're in the midst of knowing that something needs to feel better or something has to be managed differently or a conversation needs to be had. Sometimes we don't see it, we don't know how to get there. And with simple self-care, that can just help invite that clarity so that you can have the conversation or you can implement the changes that you need to feel at your best, right? And I think it's normalizing these conversations. We all are on social media now. I always talk about this, like our grandparents would perhaps say things like, well, we just had to get on with it, which is true. But I feel that there's this double-edged sword. We have technology at our fingertips. So we have all these resources, we have all these opinions. We have all these modalities, all these ways in which, resources, that in itself can become so overwhelming that you go into paralysis and you just don't know what to do. So it's being aware of how you tap in to the support. What is it that you personally need? Because what works for your friend or your sister doesn't mean that that's what works for you. So you've got to find your unique form of self-care, right?
Yeah, the rabbit hole of Google is super overwhelming, and then where it's a just another way of looking outside of ourselves for the answers. It's not like what self-care is to you is not necessarily going to feel nourishing to me. And that's what self-care is nourishing yourself.
Absolutely.
And while you were talking, I was like, I don't want to forget this, so I wrote it down. But it's like self-care is no more selfish than putting fuel in the car.
It's the same thing. And I think we overcomplicate what self-care is and its effect. There's I think it was Dean Graziosi that said, sometimes it can be the slightest shift. So he used the analogy of someone who plays golf, and if they keep hitting the ball and it's gone too far to the left, they don't do like a 180, they just shift ever so slightly and then it's hitting the fairway. And I think that's true. And everything that I do for clients or when I'm at speaking events, it's all stuff that I learned, that I implemented, and that I still use to this day. I'm very much a practice what I preach. So I don't come out every week with a brand new course or a brand new this. I stay in this space because I really believe that the power lies in these tiny little increments, these little changes and shifts. In your habits, in your routines, in your external stimulus. You know, these are all the little things that have had such a big impact for me, and that I then play out, I can share this, you know. Yeah. And that's why I had to switch from the hairdressing to doing this full time, because I was like, I need to tell people this. They need to know, you know. And a few years ago, I would not be found speaking into a camera. I wouldn't be public speaking. You know, I was good at chatting to people, but never publicly. And I thought, you know what? If I want this message out, if I want to share how simple some of this stuff is, I'm going to have to get over that. So I used that personal development on myself. And now I'll talk forever on camera or on a stage or whatever that is. But that's the power that lies there, right?
I love that. So tell me what simple self-care techniques are.
Okay, so for me, and as I said, I always say it's like a jigsaw puzzle. It's lots of little bits for everyone. So one of my main things that I always talk about is how I start my day. And I know that's that dead cliche, oh, your morning routine. But there's a reason that it's cliched, right? So what I started doing, because I think it's like New Year resolutions. We all have those times when we have these big intentions for ourselves and we're really going to go for it. And more often than not, it's not sustainable. You know, we fall off that wagon. So I had to develop something that I knew when motivation wasn't there, discipline would take over. So in the morning, I get up and I'm never happy about it. I'm not going to sit on here and lie, but I get up and I do a 7-minute workout. So it's 7 minute, low impact. But I always say to people, when you open your eyes, please don't lift your phone. That's one of the habits that I shifted. I don't lift my phone straight away. So when we're awakening, our brains go through two processes, from sleeping to being awake. And we're interrupting that natural process by lifting our phones. Mm. Based on what we see there, that's going to set a precedence for the rest of the day as to how your mood can be. So I do my 7-minute workout. Then I have breakfast with my son before he goes to school, because I don't like that chaotic, you know, throwing toast at him as he goes out the door. We sit, we have breakfast, and that's our love and connection time. Everything I do centres around the premise that we have six human needs. So it always ties back into one of these six human needs. So he has breakfast, then he goes out. Then I take the dog and go for a walk. And again, I leave my phone at home. And I just go out and have a little bit of awareness of my senses. What can I smell, see, hear? And when I start my day like that, it tends to go pretty well. But when you wake up and you start your day in that chaotic headspace, which is so common when you're a mom, you know, then it's like, so you have to find the practices that work for you at any given time. And these are not written in stone. And they are open to change because children change. So when we're parenting, what's happening at one point can shift. You know, so it's being aware of that, but creating something that works for you as you start your day. And that, it doesn't mean you have to get up at 5. You know, if you start your day at 9, then you start your day at 9. You work it for you. So that's one of my main ones. Being intentional with time. You know, we spend a lot of time sometimes getting lost scrolling through stuff, right? And I love it. I do it too. But it's like being intentional, having a little kind of plan for yourself, mm-hmm. as to what you want to do with your day or your week. You know, if I took a laptop downstairs just now on my fridge, every week there's a meal plan and there's a schedule of time. And in that schedule of time, whilst many people talk about having their date nights, we also have our own nights. So last night, actually, Kevin went to the cinema, got some food, you know, and had some downtime. It's my turn soon, you know, I'll go and do that, because we both are aware that we need that independent time to just download, you know, just step out from the household and the family and the responsibilities. And it's not always to be sociable with other people. It's sometimes just to be in our own thoughts. So intentional with time. I mean, I could talk for hours about all these things. You know, the love and connection stuff with your partner, doing budgets, like figuring out where you are financially. I feel like that's a massive strain on a lot of people. Is that money? You know, it takes control of the relationship, and it's like you guys have to take control of that, figure out where you are and where you're going. You know, whether you're affluent or whether you're on a budget, you have to manage that, or it manages you.
What stood out to me about your morning routine was that what it sounds like to me is that you're doing a body, mind, soul connection. You're connecting with you're moving your body, you're giving your mind what it needs to wake up properly, and you're going on the walk on your own without the technology, which I believe is a time where you're connecting with yourself.
Absolutely. And it's connecting with nature, and especially, I mean, in the demographic where we are in Dubai, you know, it's hot. It's, you know, there's a lot of nature, but it's all landscaped. You know, it's not organic nature. And that's one of the reasons that we are relocating to Europe, because we want to be immersed in that again. And I think that when we left Montenegro to come here, I knew that it would be an impact. I knew that I would feel, I'm Scottish, you know, I'm used to trees and green stuff and rain. But I really don't think I realised how much so. And being here, like living in this heat and this, you know, I'm like, this doesn't connect for me, which is why we're moving back to Europe, to be back in kind of more nature, more organic nature again. And all my friends think we're mad, because of course they're like, oh, is the sun too much for you? But it is. It is, you know. And I go out here, I listen to the birds, and I just think, even walking around and connecting with other people that you see, that's really interesting for me, like watching human behavior, because there are people that will respond and say good morning and they'll make eye contact, but there's an awful lot that don't, because their head's down and they're looking at their phone, you know, and you kind of go, okay. Or they find it strange that you say good morning to a stranger. And I do it all the time. I love that connection.
We spent a couple of days in Utah last week to do some off-road adventuring. And you know, I'm native to California. I've been here my whole life. And so when we went to Utah, we went to Walmart, and the person that was checking us out was talking to us. And I was like, oh, we're not in California anymore. They're people are talking to us. That's just so strange. And it didn't even dawn on me that we don't talk to each other in California. This is where I was born. This is where it's been. Like, people just were so busy, and we're just not connecting like we used to. And that I think that is creating a big gaping hole in what we're supposed to do as humans, I think.
And community. And that then feeds right back into the parenting. You know, we were never meant to do that alone. You know, there's a reason why they say it takes a village. And that village is not in place the way that it was. You know, you can tap in. And I think because we all live in different parts of the world now, that's more accessible. You know, a lot of people are not within proximity of their family or their friends for that support. And even if they are, people are busy. You know, people have got their lives and their jobs. And so we have gotten into this space where it's difficult to have that village there at the time when your kids are young, right? And that's having an impact on parents, definitely.
Is there a piece of advice that you want to share with moms listening?
I think if I could say anything, because, you know, we have this narrative, just reach out. And that's brilliant. But if we did just reach out, then people wouldn't be suffering, whether it's as parents or any mental health challenges. So, you know, for me, the first thing that helped me was speaking to a counselor. So when we say just reach out, tap into someone, a counselor, a coach, a therapist, someone who is out with your friend and family unit. And the reason that I say that is because when it comes to family and friends, whilst they can be an amazing support system, there's often a barrier there. There's a veil that comes down that is either coming from a place of feeling shame or guilt. You don't want to be judged that you're not coping so well. The other side of that is you perhaps don't want to worry your family or friends. You don't want to burden them. You know, when I was going through this myself, my family were in Scotland. So I would have a Zoom call with my mum and I was masking how bad it was because I didn't want mum to be worried and upset. And so there's definitely a barrier there. The minute I spoke to a counsellor and it became a different conversation, I just let it go. You know, that, I mean, I still think about that woman and I think, did she resign the next day? Because I felt like I just was gobbledygook, that it wasn't coherent. And it was amazing because the next day she, of course, sent me the email and she could pinpoint areas that I should explore. That's what I do now. That's what you do now because we have perspective, we have that training, we have that intuition. You know, we don't have a preconceived idea about someone, so we can completely come in and identify areas that may need some curiosity, right?
Yeah.
Love that.
I think that what you said is really important to highlight. I know that, or I remember hearing somebody say, like, I go to therapy because I don't want to burden my family with my stuff. Like, but going taking that a bit further even is like, you can't, especially like if the person that you're talking to, like you're not going to go to your husband and say, you know, I feel so unfulfilled, because your husband is going to feel like take that responsibility, you
Yeah,
know?
it's difficult.
So, and friends or family, they might take it on, they might judge, they might whatever, but when you're talking to a coach, when you're talking to a therapist or a counselor, they don't have any skin in the game.
Yeah, it's a totally different dynamic, you know. And I think we need to normalize it. The way we've got hairdressers and we've got doctors and dentists, having a therapist or a counselor or a coach, you know, is just maintenance. You don't have to be in a dark space. It can just be maintenance, you know. And you're right, because the impact, I often talk about the impact on my husband when, you know, we were new parents. He was navigating this new role as a dad. The financial pressure was weighing a bit heavier on his shoulders. He was working, I was at home with our son. And then he was coming home to a wife who, on some days, was pretty broken. And of course, men, you know, are primitive and they fix stuff and they gather and they protect, and he had nothing, you know. It's so every conversation that I have is always not just about birth mums, it's about whoever's in that household. Whether it's step parents, foster, adoptive, you know, siblings, everyone is in that dynamic. So it has to be a conversation for everybody, you know. But by speaking to an outside party, then you'll get those tools and techniques and ways that you can maybe navigate that. You know, the other thing that I realized when I started as a coach, that was the initial, okay, I'm going to speak to people. And then I thought, okay, but how can I help those who don't want to talk? Because a lot of people will hide it. And I think we are much more open now about mental health But I still feel like when it comes to being a new parent that's suffering, it's really difficult to get people to open up about that because we have such a strong need to be that good parent that breaking down those walls can be hard. And I see it all the time. I go into these situations, mum groups, you know, and I'll converse, how you doing? How's the wee one? Oh, yes, we're fine. Oh, we're tired, but we're okay. 10 minutes later, they'll have you in a corner in tears because they're then able to get the truth out. And yeah. It's like, you know, we need to
mask what's going on a lot because it's not okay to talk. It hasn't been okay to talk about it.
But that's why I then created a digital resource as well. And I just put everything together that I would do when I was talking to someone into that format so that if they want that discretion, if they're not ready to talk, then they can still tap in and get some help, you know?
Awesome. Is there a book that's been instrumental in your personal development journey?
Well, there's loads. I think the one that really stands out is a book by Matt Haig. Do you know Matt Haig? He wrote The Midnight Library, which is really popular.
Not familiar with that one.
Okay, so Matt Haig is an author, and he's very open about his own mental health. And one of the books that he had written is called The Comfort Book. And I love this because it's all short stories or poems. So when you're a new parent and you're overwhelmed and you're like, I'm not reading any books, you know, you can just do these little short bits. And they're all inspirational and, you know, they're all feel good or relatable. And one of the lines in the comfort book is, don't spread yourself so thin that you become transparent. And that really resonated with me because I was trying to be all things to all people. And I think a lot of us do that. You know, we take on that role. And it was just that reminder of, you know, you're going to have to get your boundaries in place, girl. If you want to do these things and do them well, you've got to pull it back. And I thought that was really important. So The Comfort Book by Matt Haig.
Thank you for that. Where can our listeners find you?
Everywhere. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I've got the website. So everything is under the Scottish Soul Sister. It's on my mug. I've got it on my mug. Yeah. There you go.
Cutest mug ever. Well, thank you for being a guest on the podcast, for everything that you are doing in the world and supporting moms. And
right back at you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So there will be another episode of Imperfect Momming coming for you all next week. And until we meet again, keep healing. Bye, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Momming. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alishalyons.com. That's alishalyons.com. See you next time.